like what's going to make me the most money.
Okay.
And then I did that. Now, have I learned a lot being a speech therapist? Absolutely. Because what ended up happening is I ended up connecting with a lot of people who had children who had some of those issues and some family members who have had some of those issues. And so I've really been able to use my level of expertise to serve them. And so I have to remember that even though it may not have been the ultimate thing that God wanted for me, he's still using it.
Okay.
So that's what I would say about the speech therapy. But I still do it now. And I do love going to the geriatric population because they are just so thankful that you're there.
Yeah.
And you get an opportunity to encourage them and help people with strokes and help people who have memory issues. So, yeah.
And I will say, because you mentioned you have many gifts.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's great. Like, we, you know, before we started live on the show today, we were chit-chatting and we talked about sometimes how your full-time job can fuel your passion. You need that capital to fuel your passion.
Absolutely.
So, you know, without hesitation, I know that this is your second book.
Yes.
So before we go into that, I want to know, like, what inspired you to even want to write a book, let alone this is her second book.
I can't even believe sometimes that I've done that, but praise God for that.
I'm amazed. I'm so proud
of amazed. I think it's the push. I'm going to talk about that. I think this is my second book. Okay. What inspired me to do that was I loved giving counsel to people. Like, I love mentoring people.
Okay.
And I got tired of buying other people's books to give them.
Well.
You know what I mean? And I thought to myself, I've learned lessons. I have learned different things. So why can't I put the lessons that I've learned, the messages that I've kind of got, and give them to someone else? And so that's why Newlywed Confidential is my first one.
It was Newlywed Confidential. I saw that. And I thought,
I like to talk about that one because that's my first baby.
Yes.
And Newlywed Confidential was about the transition of singleness into marriage because I got married. I was a little independent and I needed some help transitioning. And so I felt like all the thoughts that I was thinking, nobody could really be there when I'm having these little thoughts. So I wanted it to be a companion piece. I love transitioning with people. And I loved being a voice to the transition space. So that's why everything about what I write is about the transitioning of something. So that's what Newlywed Confidential was about. And I needed help because I was independent and my husband was independent. And we had to learn how to be one.
And you've been married now for
12 years.
So obviously her book
and a whole lot of Jesus.
Girl, we all need Jesus when it comes to marriage. But
yes.
I mean, truly.
Yes.
I love that Newlywed Confidential. And I love it. So can we still get that book before we go?
Absolutely.
Okay, where can we find your books?
My books are on TamaraSWilliams.com, and you can go in the store and purchase them. That is really one of my first babies, and I love that book. So if you're having issues with the transitioning into marriage, and you're kind of having thoughts like, so I married the one, but I need a little help with this transition.
Well, I won't, because we're talking about your second book, I will not ask you, because of course I've been married only 3 years, and it's still a transition.
It doesn't matter what age.
Just, you know, independent woman.
Yes.
So, and how to, I believe in, you know, being submissive.
Yes.
I truly do. I got that message, but also I know that he needs to be submissive to God.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm going to get your book.
Get that one. That's a good one.
So let's move on. So your before we do that, I want to know, what was the process? Because I have a lot of people that watch and they tune in and they always tell me, can you ask the person that succeeded, like, how they got to it? Like, so if I want to write a book.
Yes.
Did you do it independently? Did you find an editor? Like, what was, like, a couple things that you must do in order to get your book published?
You know, I really wanted to go through the process myself. I wanted to self-publish first because I really wanted to know and have control over everything. I really wanted the information so that I could, again, give it to someone else.
All right.
So I self-published. There are definitely publishing companies that you can go through.
Okay.
But I really wanted to be able to know what to do so that I could really push it out in the timing that I wanted. So what I did first was I had a manuscript.
Okay.
You can't do anything without the manuscript.
Okay.
And after you finish doing that, which isn't an easy process, you definitely need an outline. So don't just start writing, everybody. Just have an outline.
Okay.
What you want to say, and have that manuscript. Then after the manuscript, you find an editor. And you're going to have to find one or two, because it needs to go through a couple rounds.
Okay.
And so what I did was I spoke to a friend that I knew wrote really well who could really get into my content. I didn't really want my voice to change.
I love that. Well, congratulations. Truly, truly. So then, after the first book was done, it inspired you, The Dreamer's Guide.
Yes.
And this is so powerful. 30 days to devotion. And I think that is probably the hardest thing for most people, to take time with God.
Yes.
We're so busy.
We are.
We're running and we're moving. And this can help us with slow down.
Yes.
Tell us more about.
You know, I wrote it because I felt like I was a pioneer. I was a visionary.
Okay.
But there were so many things going on in my mind that I felt nobody could really speak to. So I kind of wanted the devotional to say, this is what happens or what you go through when you're pursuing your dream or when you're pursuing your vision.
Okay.
And I really just wanted to put my voice into the pages that said, okay, you're not crazy. You're not crazy.
You're not
Keep
crazy.
Keep going. I also wanted to be a voice that said, you know, as the dreamer, you're really kind of processing through, what am I giving to the world? What is the gift that I have that I desire to impact the world around me? So I kind of wanted to get into some of those conversations that you might have with yourself that you don't necessarily have with other people, or maybe you don't feel comfortable to have with other people.
Okay.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah. So I kind of did that. And then at the end, I talked about really how to pursue it. First things first. You know, creatives, what do? We have 10 things.
We have a million things that we want to do.
We do.
Yeah.
And a lot of times God doesn't give the second strategy until you finish the first thing.
Okay.
And so, you know, just get, hey, what has God told you to do first? And when you do that, then then you layer on to the next thing. Just, I really wanted to walk and be a compass with the dreamer.
I love it. Now, my other question is around devotion versus like meditation or prayer.
Okay.
What's the difference? So how do you frame that up?
I know that psychologists talk about meditation, which is really kind of silencing your mind and your spirit to kind of just find a place of peace. I believe that devotion is including communication to God. You're praying, but you're also listening.
Oh, okay.
You know? And you're also taking time to put the word of God inside of you. So I have like scriptures there where you're putting his word inside of you because he speaks through his word. And then so you're praying and you're like, okay, God, I have this question. What are my gifts? And then you're taking time to say, Father, I'm here. I'm listening.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What was the hardest part about doing that? And getting this book together, but also the practice of devotion.
Yes.
What's the hardest part for you?
Consistency.
Okay.
And really just, okay, God, I'm going to get up. But I do know that as I continue to stay consistent, then my body wakes up naturally. And then I'm naturally just in the rhythm of devotion.
Okay.
And really understanding that he wants to direct our path.
Okay.
That God really wants to give us answers to things. It may not come in the speed that we wanted to come, but he does want to communicate with us. And I think I talk to a lot of my friends who say that, well, have you asked God? And I'm like, why did you just ask me that question?
Yeah.
And sometimes, and I know that God wants us to come to him even about small details, and then, you know, try to soften our hearts to listen.
Okay.
And I believe he speaks to hearts. He speaks to minds. He even speaks through the creation. Like, you can look around and be like, you know what? That was God right there. So, yep.
Yeah. And I've watched some of your videos, which are great. And you talk about the process of prayer, or is it the process prayer?
It's called process prayers. And I think I named it that because I believe the process is where all our beautiful lessons come from. We are a society at times that become destination obsessed.
Oh, okay. Destination obsessed.
Like,
okay.
We're obsessed with getting there.
And journey.
But the journey, we just don't see the value in it.
Oh,
you know, yeah. We kind of don't see the beauty of time go. And that's my problem. That's why I created it, because we really need to see the steps and the things that we're gaining to be valuable. I learned from my daughter, who I did a post about how she's in gymnastics, she's in tumble one.
Okay.
And she didn't want to retake tumble one again, and because she had mastered the things from tumble one, and I was ready to push her on. I'm like, go, come on, you need to go up a level.
Oh my goodness.
But God is showing me, look, she's getting stronger, and now she's able to do her little back walkover. But had I not allowed her to go through that process again of learning a little small thing, she might have hurt herself in tumble two. I don't know.
Wow.
But I learned just from watching her. He's like, she needed that again. And I'm like, she did.
Oh, I love it. Because what you just described is sometimes God sets us back to set us up for something bigger. And we get angry at God.
I know.
I personally get angry. Like, God, why isn't this moving? Why am I not getting to that next level? And God is like, you know, I have something for you. I need you to stay tumble
one. Come on.
That's before good. You go to tumble two and tumble good. And hurt yourself.
Yes.
I love that. Praise God.
Yes.
So my second thing is, what is the greatest lesson? Because you just talked about lessons.
Yes.
What is the greatest lesson that you've learned through your journey?
Whoa. Oh my goodness. You know, I'm going to say my recent lesson.
Okay.
Because my recent lesson is surrender. Y'all. Okay. So surrender meaning like God's got this.
Okay.
And I think I was very much so a striver, like, gotta make it, go.
Yeah.
And realizing that even in the strive, even in the effort, even in pursuing your dreams, he's got it.
Mm.
And really just surrendering to the season that you're in and not, you know, getting to the point where you're paralyzed and not doing anything,
okay.
But you're also able to run the race at your pace. So I'm able to say, you know what? I'm going to be in the rhythm of motherhood over here. I'm going to be in the rhythm of entrepreneur over here. I'm going to be in the rhythm of marriage over here and be okay with that versus like, I got to do this like at 1,000, you know, miles per minute versus just relax, Tamara. Mm. Surrender to where you are and just be okay with the flow. That's my now lesson.
That's your now. And so how do you stay balanced? I mean, we just talked about five or six things that you do. You're a mom, you're a wife, you're an author, you're a minister, you're a speech therapist, you're, you know, friend, you're
yes, daughter.
How do you balance it all? And is it possible?
You know, that balance word, we hear it a lot in circles, don't we? About motherhood and entrepreneurship and authorship. And I feel like, again, it's back to what I said before, just really kind of understanding your pace. And I think we all know that. Sometimes we're in a push season.
Okay.
Because that was August for me to get that book out. It was like you just push.
All right.
Push.
It's here.
And even in when I did my first one, it was almost like something within me was like, if you stay pregnant with this Newlywed Confidential book another minute longer, you know? And so I felt that push moment, like, go. And then I felt, as I tapped into another, you know, of just staying devoted to God and praying, just, okay, it's time for you to rest and recharge and be able to, you know, recharge your emotion, get clear and new, fresh vision from God, you know?
Okay.
And I think if we allow ourselves to just continue to stay in a place of relationship with God so that we can relax in finding our own personal rhythm. Because what we do as women sometimes, we kind of come at somebody for having a faster rhythm than another.
Okay.
But you know what? You might be in a faster rhythm than what God has told me to
at
that time. And my rhythm might be slower.
Okay.
So we have to kind of be okay with whatever God is saying to push, whatever he's saying to rest, whenever he's saying recharge, and then I think we'll be able to feel a lot more peace.
Oh, wow. I just saw on the Today Show this morning, I was watching, and it talked about this whole movement of slowing down. Ooh. And how, because we're always in such a rush to get, as you mentioned earlier, to that next, and we're forgetting about the movement, and that goes to what you're saying about, we need to know that your journey is not the next person's journey.
Yes.
And be okay with that. And absolutely. Be okay with that. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and just to make sure all systems are a go, and with the copays and bills, but we'll be back in less than 30 seconds, so stay tuned. This is Kimberly Harrison Hicks of Good Women Win.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care. At a moment's notice, Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Welcome back. This is Kimberly Hairston Hicks of Good Women Win. We have Tamara S. Williams in the building. And I met Tamara at another conference that we were both speaking at, and her spirit was just incredible. I also learned that you do, or last year you did this Go Girl, Glow Girl.
Yes. I know, it's just kind of like a cheerleader, like Glow Girl, Glow.
Yes. So tell me about that.
Okay.
And then let's talk about what your spirit is guiding to for the next season.
You know, I did that brunch because I'm such a woman who is passionate about women reaching their destiny, their purpose. And that's kind of what my book is about as well. So I kind of combine my book release with the brunch. Oh. I wanted the dreamer to have a space to talk about, you know, what it feels like to be a pioneer woman or a dreamer woman or a woman who is creative. I love creatives. My birthday's in April. I love the number 4. So it's just creation is 4. So everything about my brain is creative. And I love the idea of women coming together, inspiring each other, motivating each other for their dreams and aspirations, and speaking to each other's lives about, you know what, I'm pursuing my dream, but you know what, girl, go for it and be who God has destined you to be, because He has a purpose and plan for all of us.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I saw the pictures, and it had some of my favorite people
yes,
there.
Yes, it did.
So,
it was fun, and they were amazing.
Yeah.
They
Christina
spoke about
was there.
My pastor, she's
Pastor
amazing.
Christina, she came on the show. Oh, gosh.
Veronica was on it. Veronica Shelby.
Yes. I love those. Those Lehigh Valley women always show up.
They do.
That's a really great community. And so I commend that you ladies get together and always inspire one another.
Yes.
For sure.
They
so
do.
I want to talk about inspiration.
Yes.
What has been your greatest inspiration? And also on the flip side of that, your greatest disappointment.
Ooh. I want to talk about disappointment first because I want to end on a good note. I would say my biggest disappointment was feeling like I had missed God in choosing my major in college, in choosing the thing that I felt to do, but I chose approval. Meaning I was a young woman who hadn't really understood her identity. I was a young woman who was very much so, I'll do whatever you want. Whatever you need, whatever you want. And I really didn't take time to discover all of who God had created me to be. So I was very disappointed at some of my choices, you know, but that led me to never let another young woman, never to let a woman ever deny that aspect of herself ever again. So even though, you know how God uses our pain for purpose,
yes.
He allows our mistakes to be able to inspire and encourage other people. So that was my biggest disappointment. And that's my inspiration for everything that I do.
Aww.
That I will not let my daughters, I won't let any mentees. I won't let anyone that God has me to come across deny the voice of him speaking to them because something seems like it's right, or something seems like something your mom wants you to do, or your family's encouraging to do you.
Yeah.
That you should do what is really set in your heart to do, because I believe that God speaks. He doesn't give us stuff for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, he gave you that beauty line for such a distinct woman to impact, reason to impact Black women and to just connect you to just different women, like, around the world.
I thank you. I thank you. And I know it's hard.
It is.
For parents, sometimes we want our children to go one way.
We do.
And based on society norms, societal norms, or just because we think that financial success is the way to go. Now, I will say, for me personally, even with our daughter, she's 13, we always are pushing her to live the A life. And the A life means, you know, of course, strive for A's in school, but it also means to be kind and show up as an A person and participate. And, you know, like, the lessons are, you know, make good decisions, you know, be a leader, be kind, but also have some fun.
Absolutely.
So how many daughters do you have? Oh, and tell me what lessons you give to them.
I have two of them. Hi, Raina and Aria.
Raina and Aria.
And the lessons I give to them are really, I do leadership and kindness, and I also have them encourage each other as sisters with their gifts. So even the other night before bed, I was like, okay, so tell your sister one good thing that she does well, and I had Aria do the same back to her, and I want them to really be supporters of each other and their giftings and who God distinctly made them to be, because that was part of the thing I kind of spoke about at Veronica's thing, that she had her Passion, Power, and Pursuit conference. And I just really tell my daughters often, really understand that's the way God made you, because my daughter will say, my ears are small, and I'm like, but that's the way God made you. So I'm like, what can you do about it?
Because
even when they get bullied, my daughter got bullied one time, and I can't remember what the girl said, but hey, that's the way God made me. You can't change that. And I try to make them love who they were distinctly created to be, because I'm quirky.
You know what? I love that message of share one good thing about.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you.
People should do that. I think I'm going to go home and tell my husband.
My husband do it too. He had to do it. I was like, tell your daughters and tell me. No, I have a problem.
That's great. No, I love that. I think that's so good. I think that is a wonderful thing.
That's great.
Now, just shifting a little bit, because I think sometimes, you know, we talked about balance and tell me how you get through when there's disappointment, trials and tribulations. I think sometimes people think if you're a Christian, things are great, you don't have to worry about it. But how do you get through those things?
You know, I thought of three things. Now, you know, we don't leave out prayer and the word, but I also think we have to have crisis confidence.
Okay.
And I say that because I don't believe God put us here to do life alone.
Oh.
I don't. Okay. Meaning, like, I need you, sister, to help me. Need you. You see? Like, I need some of my sisters to walk alongside me, who I trust and can guide me into the truth, to really help me to get through some of the trials. We're going to pray. Like, that's kind of a basin. You need to pray and talk to God and really, you know, spend time just asking God to help your heart. But I also believe in having solid core covenant girlfriends that you can trust with your stuff and can walk you through, and that will be able to talk you and lead you to the truth, but also be one that's like, sister, I'm not going to let you go down. I'm going to come here to remind you of who you are. I'm going to remind you how awesome you are and how you're destined for good things. I have a couple of girlfriends like that, and I just think they're essential to my life. They are.
Well, you are destined. You are destined for great things. I can't wait. Again, where can now we can get the Dreamer's Guide? Yes. Where can we get that?
You can get that on Amazon, believe it or not. But you can also get it on my website, which is TamaraSWilliams.com, and you can get it there. If you go to the store section, you'll be able to purchase the book there.
I will add a link to the Facebook Live awesome. Page so they can just click on yeah. and get it. Is there just one more like nugget of advice as before we wrap up that you would give to people that are watching, to women or for men, because we have some male viewers as well?
I just believe, and I spoke about before, this is the only thing that's coming to mind right now, is that your process is valuable. And I say that to say, everything that you're going through, or even let's say you're pursuing a new job, you're pursuing a new career, you're wanting to write a book, mm-hmm. every lesson that you're learning right now could be something that you're going to give to somebody else, because God needs you to be his hands and his feet, his mouth, his ears, and the earth. So he wants to use you. And so that's what be my last piece of encouragement to anybody that's watching. And this lady's amazing.
No, thank you. Thank you, Tamara, for coming on the show. This is Kimberly Harrison Hicks with Good Women Win. We're here. Of course, this is a show to inspire goodness. If you like what you hear, make sure you like the Good Beauty Facebook yes. page. Go on Instagram and like us there as well. I thank you.
Thank you.
Have a happy Friday. Again, it's a beautiful fall day. Get out there and enjoy it. God bless you.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Employers added around 136,000 jobs last month when analysts were expecting to see a number closer to 145,000. But President Trump moments ago was focusing on the low unemployment rate in that report.
3.5% unemployment. The lowest in over 50 years, so very happy, and I think really very important, again, I'll say, wages are up. When I was running, wages were nowhere.
The president also telling reporters outside the White House he has an obligation and a duty to root out corruption, again floating allegations of corruption by former VP Joe Biden and his son Hunter. The president says it's not about politics, and he's accusing Democrats of treating him very unfairly. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world are on a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or 800-289-2646. Or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
This condition is serious.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention saying that there seems to be no sign that the mysterious illness linked to vaping is fading anytime soon. CDC Dr. Ann Shewkat yesterday held a media call to update reporters on the numbers.
There have been 18 deaths confirmed and reported to CDC from 15 states. And we know that additional deaths are under investigation.
On another front, federal health officials say the 2018 flu season was the longest in a decade, with elevated flu activity for 21 weeks. The CDC estimates 42 million people got sick from it. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear arguments in a Louisiana abortion case. It's about a law there that requires doctors performing an abortion to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital. Opponents of it call it too restrictive. And this is USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
There's word of some progress towards ending the General Motors workers' strike. Now in its 19th day, people familiar with the negotiations say representatives of GM and the United Auto Workers Union are narrowing gaps between their positions. The negotiators reportedly have been passing comprehensive proposals back and forth all week. Nearly 50,000 workers from plants across the nation have been on strike since September 16th. Energy Secretary Rick Perry is resigning. Politico says the former Texas governor is planning to step down next month and will be replaced temporarily by Deputy Energy Secretary Dan Brouillette. Perry's decision reportedly had nothing to do with President Trump's impeachment inquiry. Perry, though, has found himself involved in the whistleblower complaint about Trump pressuring Ukraine's leader to investigate Joe Biden, but while he was asked for details about his recent travels to Ukraine, indications are that this decision was coming before the impeachment inquiry began. And Colombian authorities say three smugglers stayed alive after their boat capsized by clinging to bales of cocaine. Authorities say a wave hit the boat as it was sailing off the country's Pacific coast on Saturday, and over a ton of the baled cocaine spilled into the water. The men were found floating in the shark-infested waters about 7 hours later. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about the new films Toy Story 4, Child's Play, and Anna, plus a retro review of the Robin Williams Black Mirror-ish movie, The Final Cut, from 2004. I'm also going to be talking about some news, the trailer park, and the home cinema roundup with a spotlight on the Universal Horror Collection Volume 1, featuring Karloff and Lugosi in The Black Cat, The Raven, The Invisible Ray, and Black Friday. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
A couple pieces of small news here that I wanted to hit. One of them is the fact that something I predicted earlier this year, and I'm absolutely right, and that is Avengers Endgame is going to be re-releasing into theaters, coinciding with Spider-Man Far From Home. Now, they're re-releasing it with a little bit of extra unseen footage. Apparently, there's some post-credit stuff that they're going to be doing, and to give a little extra goose to the box office. And the only reason they're really doing this, I mean, they're doing it maybe to cross-promote with Spider-Man, but the real reason they're doing this is that movie is just $45 million away from breaking the all-time worldwide record that Avatar holds, which is billions of dollars, but it's $45 million away. That's why it's going out back in theaters. And I don't know, it's not going to make that necessarily in America, but maybe worldwide it'll push it just enough over the finish line. And Disney has been known to keep things in the theaters just long enough to reach their milestones. Another piece of news, which I find perplexing, Jason Blum and Jamie Lee Curtis were taking pictures of themselves and tweeting it out going, "We're planning things," of course implying that they're getting ready to do another Halloween movie, which is great. I loved David Gordon Greer's Halloween. My biggest beef with this whole story isn't that they're planning the movie, isn't that they're planning on a fall shoot this year. It's supposed to start shooting in September, and it's not at all bothered by the fact that it has a 2020 release date, I'm assuming sometime in October, very similar to what happened with the Halloween movie they did last year. I'm all for that, and I love the fact that Jason Blum is following the 80s slasher business plan of cranking them out with short schedules and small budgets so you can have a series go through just a couple years, which is great. And that's exactly how movies like Halloween and Friday the 13th did so well in the 80s in the first place. My biggest beef is everyone's calling it Halloween 2, and I'm like, well, it's not Halloween 2. This last Halloween was a direct sequel to Halloween. That makes this last movie, if anything, Halloween 2. And is this one going to be Halloween 3? Figure out how you're going to name these stupid movies, or just make it Halloween. Say, go see Halloween, and just call it Halloween 2020. Because at this point, the Halloween movies are so insane with their titling that it makes no sense. But as long as you keep Rob Zombie as far away from this franchise as possible, I will be happy. The next piece of news I think is interesting that's coming out is that Suzanne Collins is already in the works of writing a new Hunger Games movie, which takes place, I think it's around the 10th Hunger Games, so it's well earlier than Katniss Everdeen existed. So you're not going to get Jennifer Lawrence in the movie, and I don't think you would have gotten it anyways. I think she would have been like, look, guys, I fulfilled my contract on that, and I'm done. I mean, thank you, and it was great, and it propelled me to superstardom, but I got other things on my plate. And it's the same reason why she got out of the X-Men movies. I mean, that was great for her to be in the X-Men first class, but I think she's done with it, and she wants to move on. And maybe you'll see her in another superhero movie, but you're not going to see her in the new Hunger Games. This is a prequel, and it reminds me a lot of what's going on with the Harry Potter universe films. Now, of course, a lot of this is just because they want to generate more money. Apparently, Suzanne Collins bought a new house or a new car or needs to make a payment on something or just wants some more cash. And that's fine. Go ahead, knock yourself out. I'm all for that. If I wrote The Hunger Games, I'd be writing prequels already. But here's my prediction on this one. It's going to be very similar to the Fantastic Beasts movies that have had diminishing returns. The first Fantastic Beasts did well, did better overseas, but it did okay, but it wasn't nearly as strong as the other Harry Potter movies. And this second one, The Crimes of Grindelwald, that one also had a slower start in America. It actually, I don't even think it made $200 million in America. And overseas, it's the lowest of the Harry Potter movies. And there might be one excluding, but I think it's actually the lowest grossing of the Wizarding World movies. And I have a feeling you're going to get that with The Hunger Games because you're going to have somebody to replace Jennifer Lawrence because she was integral to that series. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the trailer park. The first one I want to talk about is the Banana Split Show movie, which opens on August 13th on digital, and I think it's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray at the end of August.
Who's excited to see the Banana Split? Yeah!
Rebecca! Rebecca! Rebecca, I'm canceling the show.
What?
Hey, kids, put on your happiest faces, because the Banana Split Show is about to begin.
Why are you doing this to me?
Now the show can go on forever and ever and ever.
I remember the Banana Splits when I was a little kid. It was an early 70s cartoon, this sort of wraparound variety show thing that was as not quite as psychedelic as the Sid and Marty Krofft stuff, like H.R. Puff and stuff or anything like that. But it was still bonkers and crazy. And what they do is they'd have these little sketches and almost like a children's laugh-in, where they have these little sketches that tied together short films and cartoons. And they had this TV series called Danger Island, which was actually pretty terrible but kind of cool. And it was like directed by, like, I think Richard Donner at the time, who went on to direct Superman and the Lethal Weapon films. There were those kiddie things, and I remember they actually had the series of them. In the credits, they'd be driving around or running around Kings Island, which is, you know, within driving distance. I go to Kings Island every year with my kids, and I remember going there in the 70s, and the Brady Bunch went to Kings Island. It showed up in a lot of stuff in the 70s because it was and it still is a fantastic amusement park. But the difference is with this one is this is going to be a monster movie. This is a scary film. They're basically making the Banana Splits like a Five Nights at Freddy's movie, where the giant puppet-type creatures attack people and kill them, and it turns into a horror movie, which has me fascinated. Because this stuff kind of was a horror movie at the beginning. I mean, if you look at Bingo Flegel, Drooper, and Snork, these were monstrous nightmare fuel creatures that were in plush outfits that if any child saw on the street, they would run screaming into their parents' arms. I could get into this. Like I said, the idea of a Five Nights at Freddy's movies has always intrigued a lot of fanboys, and I think it could be cool. This might be a nice way to dip your toe into it and see how well it does work. The next one I want to hit really quickly is Good Boys, which opens on August 16th.
I'm having a party tomorrow. You in?
Yeah.
Can Thor Lucas come?
They're so random. They're my best friends. We do everything together.
There's so many girls at the party. You know what that means?
Drama.
No, kissing.
You do not want to go to Soren's party not knowing how to kiss.
We could spy on my neighbor. She's a total nymphomaniac.
She starts fires.
Ha. This is what happens when you don't respect women.
I respect women. My mom's my best friend.
What about me?
I have always sort of come and gone with my affinity towards these movies of kids doing inappropriate things on a all-night or all-day bender type thing. Superbad was funny, but some of these movies can get kind of, I don't know, nihilistic, or I don't appreciate some of them, even when I was a kid, you know. Stuff like, what was the one, The Wildlife or something like that? I've never been wild on these. The one reason I think this might be kind of fun is because these kids are actually way too young, and everything that seems to be happening around them, they have no idea what it is. And it's them in these inappropriate situations, but literally not have enough experience, which I think plays to the comedy better, as opposed to having, like, that movie mid-90s that came out last year, where you got this 11 or 12-year-old that's talking about doing extremely inappropriate stuff I can't say on the radio. So, anyways, I'm looking forward to that one. This one could be funny, but who knows? August release, you never know. And that's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Child's Play and Anna.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
Mike Hewitt here. Let's change the subject. Are you an employee or an employer, a coach, a negotiator, a manager, a salesperson? Need help navigating this new world we all find ourselves in? Learn from more than three decades of direct management and negotiating experience and a professor of business management. Politics? You betcha. Understanding the politics of business is crucial to your success. This isn't about the latest fad. It's about tried and true process-driven victories, management by measurement, full-circle documented communications. Let's get passionate about our business, our career, and success. Let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's draw on what's worked for some of the most successful employees and employers in America. Our next event, The Days Inn, Grayling, Michigan, July 16th. Reserve your seating at TalkMyQ.com or call 616-405-3420.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honoring Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. We are going to jump right into the movie reviews with a scary movie. I always think it's funny that they have scary movies and horror movies come out in the summer. To me, horror movie time is October. That is the fall, and you can have them come out in late September, but October's when you have horror movies. And I love horror movies, and I'd love to see horror movies come out year-round, and they kind of do. But generally, when the horror movies come out in mid-November, they're kind of lame. And, another big month for horror movies is January. I mean, I think the reason for that is that's not a big box office time for new movies. So a lot of smaller, low-budget, fringe movies and limited audience favorites, that's when those are going to come out. That's when you're going to start seeing stuff. Horror movies work at that time because the horror movie market tends to be older kids and maybe high school and college age, maybe a little bit into their 20s, where they're not having to worry about necessarily, they don't worry about going to school the next day, or they just don't care because they can make their own decisions. You know, kids' movies don't do as well in January because kids are going back to school, for example. But for some reason, horror movies are coming out this summer. We actually have a whole bunch. We've got the next Annabelle movie coming out next week, another cursed doll movie. Before that, we've got Child's Play, the remake, which is out this weekend. This reboot of the Killer Doll franchise finds a child's doll that can network with an entire smart house, and when its safety protocols are disabled, it becomes very dangerous.
I think Chucky did something.
Andy, if you know something, you better tell me.
Something's wrong with Chucky.
Buddy can connect to and control all of your camera powers.
Chucky is a toy. He could be anywhere.
Welcome to Castle and Car.
We have to stop him.
Good night, Andy.
I remember when the first Child's Play came out, I went and saw it. I saw it actually with my dad. We went I think it was on a Sunday night. And what's weird is I was tempted to go to the exact same theater that I saw it back in the 80s because it's still open. It's been remodeled and refurbished about three times since. But I do remember which movie theater I saw it at. And it was a passable horror movie. It wasn't anything that really like broke any records or made a huge splash when it happened. It's just it was such a great killer doll movie. And of course, then they made a couple sequels, and I remember seeing those when I was in college and enjoying those. And then they went campy with the Bride of Chucky and the Seed of Chucky movie. And then they brought it back with the Curse of Chucky and then the Cult of Chucky for these home video versions that were all consistent with that original series that was originally created by Tom Holland when he made that first movie back in the late 80s. They've decided to reboot it, and I remember when that happened, the first thing, everyone rolls their eyes, including me, everyone rolls their eyes and goes, do you really need to do this? And I did back off and I said, you know, maybe they could do something fun with it, because I am okay with remaking a movie if either, you know, if you can bring something new to the franchise, or if you can look at it from a different perspective, or if there's something you can achieve special effects-wise and cinematically that you weren't able to achieve in the first movie, absolutely remake it. It just might work with more modern sensibilities. A great example is The Thing. You know, they couldn't do the original story in 1952 or 51 when that first came out, but when John Carpenter did it in the 80s, he was able to to do that and give the John W. Campbell version of the thing. Same thing with Invasion of the Body Snatchers. They went from a small town to a large city like San Francisco. And, you know, politically and culturally, the world was in a different place in that 20-plus year difference. But it really worked. The problem with the Chucky in this movie is, first of all, I love Mark Hamill. I think he does a great job as the voice. But he's not given enough stuff to really go evil the way Brad Dourif was in the original movie. And the original movie, the doll has the soul of a serial killer who put it there in a way to escape getting killed in a shootout. And there's also a really insidious nature in that first movie, the original, because it bonds with a child, a young child, like a five-year-old child, that's pure innocence, that doesn't understand what the horrible monster could be in here. And in this movie, they change a lot of stuff. And like I said, it's okay if you change things, but you got to have a good reason. And the reasons never quite work with this movie. They have like an 11-year-old kid playing Andy. And so he doesn't have that childlike wonder anymore. So he's obviously going to be immediately more suspicious. He's got these punk kids that feels like this attempt to be like in the Shazam movie where he's got like a little family back home of foster kids. And the worst part about this movie is it has nothing to do with any sort of possession of a serial killer. It's just this networked computer that can Alexa, a walking, talking Alexa, that its safety protocols are disabled. That's it. That's like in the first scene, quite literally the first scene they show them disabling the safety protocol. So that's why this doll is having problems. And I'm like, well, first of all, that's a lame idea. And it doesn't give you any sort of oomph to it. It doesn't give you any sort of depth to it. And all it does is it just sort of has this hysteria over smart houses, which is absurd anyways, because the kid's house is, for some reason, this kid's poor because his mother's divorced or his dad's dead or something like that. And she's a single mom working at like a shopping center. Yet they have all the network TVs and music and everything that's capable in the house. And that doesn't make any sense. It feels like they're so desperately trying to be relevant with the smart house type stuff that they lose the essence of where the real scary part of, or even just the unnerving part of Chucky was. This would have been better if they would have just not had Chucky in it at all, if just had it as a smart house that went nuts. They could have mined for horror, but otherwise you're comparing it constantly to the original. And you're like, well, why do you have a child's toy running the house? I understand having an Alexa module or something like that. So it just doesn't even make sense. It never gets the laughs where it's supposed to. It never follows through when it should. The kid's kind of a punk. His friends are awful. His mom, played by Aubrey Plaza, is a terrible mother. And they never sort of reconcile any of this. It's just they're just thrown in here and they don't come out like they've learned anything. At the very least, something you can learn from horror movies. So, yeah, this new Child's Play is an absolute waste of time. It totally sucks.
It sucks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. I'm going to burn through this next one because I don't have much time. And this is Anna. Luc Besson directs this high-action thriller about a beautiful woman who also happens to be one of the greatest international assassins of all time.
What was the nature of your relationship with Oleg Filenkov?
You enter this hotel at 1:37 p.m., did you notice anything suspicious?
Like what? Can't you look at the hotel security cameras?
Tapes were erased. Looks like we're dealing with pros.
Your next target is in Paris. There'll be no backup. Any questions?
Which room?
I did not get to see this one. It was not screened, unfortunately. I kind of want to see it. I like Luc Besson's work. He certainly has this fetish for strong women beating the heck out of all these people in international locations. I mean, you saw that in La Femme Nikita. You saw that in Lucy. He's done these kind of things many times before. I mean, the only thing that I think he would have liked better in the Taken movies is if Liam Neeson was a tall, statuesque woman. And this looks interesting. It looks like a fun throwaway action movie. Luc Besson's good for this kind of stuff. I gotta say it preemptively sucks because they never showed it to me. But even though I have to say it preemptively sucks, it does look like a movie I'm going to track down eventually.
It sucks.
That's it for the segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about the other toy movie, Toy Story 4, and the final cut.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous.